Welcome to the Mind Matters podcast, hosted by Gordon Bruin, a licensed clinical mental health counselor. In this insightful podcast, Gordon explores the intricate relationship between the mind and the brain, shedding light on the fascinating world of psychology and neuroscience. By delving into this complex interplay, the podcast will empower you with a deeper understanding of your mental processes, paving the way for personal healing and growth. Join Gordon weekly as he unravels the mysteries of the mind, offering valuable insights and practical guidance for your mental health and a more profound connection with your inner self.
In today's podcast, I'm putting together about four or five books that I've read in combination with a video that my son introduced to us last night. Anyway, he came over to visit us last night. This is my 32-year-old son. He says, "Man, I watched this really fascinating video of an amazing dog whisperer, dog trainer that trained, that was able to gentle like the most vicious wild dog." Anyway, it's just fascinating to watch. And I'm using that as a metaphor for those of, as a therapist I've worked with for a number of years who struggle with addiction. For example, like this wild dog is all limbic, survival, just instinctively responding to things. And people who struggle with addiction issues, all limbic, survival, trying to protect a part of oneself from pain because they don't know how to deal with it. It's the same metaphor, but oh my gosh, this video showed this dog owner, and she was the weakest, I've got to be gentle with my words here, but just a pathetically weak, fragile human being. And so this German Shepherd was picking up on her energy and was just wild in protecting her. So this individual moved out from Chicago to live with her sister. I think it was in California. I'm not sure. Texas or California. Anyway, but and so there was a land on the property where she had a little studio apartment, but there was an inside yard, right? But anyone in that inside yard would be in tremendous danger. As a matter of fact, her sister, who she moved in with, the dog attacked her to the point where she had serious wounds, had a number of stitches, and was terrified of this dog. And so the video shows this dog and just absolutely out of control with everybody. But the issue was the owner. This woman was so fragile and so weak. And so anyway, so watching this dog trainer come in, the very first thing that he did, he watched what was happening, and he was like, okay. And he was concerned. He was worried. And because dealing with a wild beast is never... when you're dealing with Mother Nature in its raw form, it's you got to be really, really cautious. And so here you have this dog, professional dog trainer. His name is Cesar Millan. And the very first thing he did was spoke this dog's language. So in other words, the dog owned the territory in that backyard. So the first thing he did was started to, I think he got a rag and saturated it with vinegar. And so he'd slowly open the door to the backyard. This dog would be going crazy, and he'd throw out this rag with the vinegar that would have a strong scent to it, right? Speaking to the limbic dog, right? Smell. It's like, so Caesar, the dog trainer, was starting to mark his territory, like the dog would respond to. So he went out, and there was a confrontation, in the dog was still trying to figure out how to attack this dog trainer, but had a tennis racket to protect himself, or the dog trainer had a tennis racket, and then kept throwing the rag out around and marking his territory. Anyway, they did a series of things to help show the dog that it was not in charge. That Caesar showed that he was in charge, but very respectfully, very mindfully, and not in a violent way at all. And then took the dog to his residence and then started to socialize him with other dogs. And anyway, long story short, the dog was socialized. He was able to get him to stop being so violent and just creating massive fear in other people. I mean, because it reached the point where the sister with the dog, who was the core issue, was going to have to move someplace else. But then all she does is stay in her house with her dog. She can't go out anywhere. No one can come in. That's not a very good life, right? Anyway, so after the dog trainer socialized the dog, showed him that he was in charge, and then taught him the rules and boundaries, the dog responded because he showed him he was in charge. And it reminds me of the old Lakota, the Indians. They as they looked at horse herds, they had a word. It's Otoncon, which means leader or great one. And then in every horse herd, again, this is all the limbic world, right? Limbic system, horses, the same thing, survival type beasts. That the horse herd always had a leader, always had a dominant leader, and every one of the horses in the herd knew who was in charge. That's the way a horse herd functions. And it's so interesting in the horse world that the horses are always asking the question, are you in charge or am I in charge? And once the message has been received that a certain horse is in charge, then the horse's duty is to follow that leader. And so there's two things that a horse does. He will follow who is in charge, and his other job is to always test the leader to make sure the leader's in charge. And that's why they always keep pushing and pushing. And as long as the leader shows that they're in charge, they will submit, and they will follow the rules and boundaries that leader provides for them. So anyway, back to this wild dog. So after Cesar Millan trained this dog, fascinating to see that it got gentled, then he brought the owner of the dog. Remember this woman who just was, and not trying to diagnose her in any way, but she was extremely fragile. You could tell that. And so took the dog or brought the owner in, and the dog reverted to its behavior, reverted to trying to jump. The dog was showing the owner, I am in charge. I will protect you because you cannot protect yourself. And so the dog was just doing what it did naturally. So what they did with the woman was took her to a place, actually taught her Muay Thai, which is a form of kickboxing, to try to help her find some strength within inside of herself. And then the dog trainer, in taking her back to her dog, showed her, look, you've got to show this dog you're in charge, that you are not going to tolerate this behavior. And as she first attempted to do it, she was very weak, very fragile. So they kept working with her, kept teaching her more self-efficacy type things like Muay Thai, and that helped strengthen her. And then, and anyway, there was tremendous progress made, that the dog was able to be socialized, that the dog was able to be brought back into that family, and they continue to work on this process. It's the same thing that, that I've experienced as a therapist. And so I, in my work, part of what I've been through is I've worked with adult female survivors of childhood sexual abuse, noticed the same thing with many of them inside they just, because they have been taken advantage of, there's a part of them that feels fragile. So we have to strengthen that. So man, with about 1,000 individuals, I've done Muay Thai with them, put boxing gloves on them. And so I have mitts and they have boxing gloves and they teach them to hit the mitt and kick and so forth. It's been one of the most amazing things that I have seen to help them find power inside of themselves. So anyway, I know I'm rambling all over the place, but the metaphor that I really want to impress upon your mind in this podcast is if you're struggling with a weakness, an addiction, a secret addiction, it's there's a difference between the mind and the brain. The mind is the part of you that wants to be completely in charge, that knows the difference between right and wrong. Our brains are a survival mechanism that learns to survive by avoiding pain at all costs, and anything that we're insecure with inside of ourselves. So we've learned through repeated experience, we've suffered trauma in any way, or neglect, where we don't feel strong and secure inside of ourselves. That's where an addiction will come in. That's where our wild dog comes in and says, well, I will take care of you, and I will act out through drugs, alcohol, inappropriate sexual behavior. It's the attempt of the wild limbic system to take care of you. And it's doing only what it knows how to do. So it gets the message, I need to take you away from pain because you can't deal with it. So in our brains, and that's how our brain works, we survive by avoiding any type of a pain, emotional pain, physical pain, we interpret that as a threat to our survival. And so when we feel unsure of ourselves, we're not confident, we feel fragile, we feel hurt, that's where the limbic system this metaphor, the wild dog comes in and says, I will protect you. And the only way to protect you is to fight those other things and get you away from that pain. So I'm going to distract you into alcohol, into drugs, into any other thing that can take you away from dealing with this enemy, whatever it is you're fearing. So what's the answer? The answer is learning to face your fears, whatever they may be, and to... And one of the books that I'm rereading now, it truly is one of the best books that I've ever come across. It's entitled The Mind and the Brain, Neuroplasticity and the Power of Mental Force by Dr. Jeffrey M. Schwartz, MD, and Sharon Begley. This is an amazing book. I mean, he goes deep into the research of how the brain functions, how the brain constantly is reorganizing itself to try to deal with things. And one of the core principles of his book and his research is that the way to change our brain significantly is called the power of mental force. It's thought, but it's attention. It has to be focused attention dealing with the issue at hand. If we are distracted and our attention is weak to what we're trying to deal with, or we're constantly distracted into this area or that area, the brain does not seem to significantly change. But when full attention is given to the task at hand, whatever it might be, that's when we see significant brain changes. Even visualization and mindfulness, the research shows that if you can focus clearly enough with in your mind's eye, the brain itself is responding as if you're physically doing it. And that's one of the most profound breakthroughs in the power of mindfulness, is the brain cannot tell the difference between an actual physical activity and one that we rehearse mentally. That's why we've got to be so careful where we allow our minds to go and what we allow our minds to think. If you think to the brain, what we're doing is actually doing the thing. The brain can't tell the difference. So anyway, I know this podcast has kind of been all over the place, but it was such a profound experience last night when I watched this video with my son, because I've noticed the similarities. Like I said, the metaphor between those who struggle with addictive behaviors, it's just exactly like this wild dog. It's just doing what it does. And that's why when anyone is struggling with an addiction, we can't shame them. Shaming them does no good. The brain is just doing what it's meant to do. It's trying to find a way to protect the person. Even the most bizarre behaviors has a positive intention behind it. So this wild dog trying to protect this weak, emotionally fragile, weak owner was just doing what it was meant to do. I've got to protect you because you cannot protect yourself. The same is true if we are struggling with any addictive behavior. It's like our brain is saying, I've got to protect you because you can't protect yourself. So then what do we conclude with that? Then we got to really take a look at what we fear, where we feel we're fragile, start to focus our attention in those areas and go right into the middle of the storm, so to speak, and try to keep working on those areas that we're afraid of, giving full attention with the mindset, can do, stronger than I think I am, healthy sense of humor, right? Got to learn to cut up and bust up sometimes if you're not perfect, because you're never going to be perfect. And zero victim mentality, trying to take the reins back. Always trying to say, look, I've got to be able to manage myself a little bit better. I've got to be able to choose things that are going to be constructive for me. And each one of us have to answer those questions for ourselves. What is your life going to stand for? Why are you here? What is your purpose? What have you got to do? And then if there's things that are you feel insecure about, weak about, just keep working on it. Go to work. Today's a new day. You know, and here's another statement I want you to think about. It's always now. Always. Time is just a concept. Think about it. There never was a time when it's not now. Now is the only time you can think about the future. Now is the only time you can think about the past. Now is the only time you can change anything. Now is the only time you can reset your focus through mindful activity. Now is the only time you can practice affirmations, rewiring your brain when you realize that negative thoughts are coming in or fears are coming in, and constantly hitting the refresh button. No, I am strong. I am capable. I will figure out a way. I will overcome this trial. I will keep moving forward. I will learn to focus in a stronger, more clear pattern on what it is that I choose to do. So the end of the day, I know I've done some podcasts on this subject. Life is a matter of attention. The quality of attention that we give to our thoughts and a specific task is one of the most important things for us to consider, right? So someone who has the ability to focus on a task with a timeline, like a specific period of time, like for 1 hour, I am going to do this specific thing. So you have a goal with a deadline, and you just practice your ability to focus on that specific thing. That's when your brain starts to change. But if you're constantly distracted, constantly going from left to right to left to right to left to right, which the mind does by nature, then we don't really change that much. It's consistent practice over and over again on meaningful tasks that we set for ourselves, confronting our fears, whatever they are, constantly searching for answers. But it goes back to, as a reset over and over again, can-do attitude. I will figure it out. There's anything in your life that's out of control. You don't feel in control in your relationships. You feel vulnerable. You feel you're being taken advantage of, whatever it might be. Be aware of that. Acknowledge it and say, I'm going to work on correcting that. I'm going to work on that right now because now is the only thing I ever have. I will figure out a way. And chill a little bit. Healthy sense of humor. You're not a victim of anything. There is a power inside of you. You just have to be shown how to get there. Just like this lady, when Cesar Millan brought her out with her dog and the dog started going crazy again around her and jumping on her, he says, you can't tolerate that. But you've got to clearly show that you're in charge. Not this weak, oh, don't do that. It's like, back down. Enough, where you got to take a stand. And mindfully, we can do that against our own wild parts of ourself in our brain, realizing our brain is just doing what it does naturally to try to take care of us, whatever it might be, food, overeating food or whatever, you know. So it's finding wisdom and trying to manage all of these different areas and distractions in our life, trying to live the life that you're setting for yourself. Anyway, those are just some thoughts I wanted to share with you this morning. Hopefully they're helpful. Life is a matter of attention. Focused attention on a specific task over and over again, that changes the brain. And again, amazing book, The Mind and the Brain, Neuroplasticity and the Power of Mental Force by Dr. Jeffrey Schwartz. Maybe I'm a book nerd and sometimes it's hard to read some of this stuff, but man, there's just some pure gold in there, I think. All right. Have an amazing day.
Thank you for joining us. If you want more in-depth knowledge and tools to aid your recovery journey, check out Gordon Bruin's book, Recovery Simplified. Gordon dives deeper into the complex mind, offering a comprehensive guide to the recovery process. To get your hands on this priceless resource, visit our website at gordonbruin.com, where you'll find more information about Recovery Simplified and how it can be a powerful companion toward healing and personal transformation.